evening, everyone. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and this is SCARS, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the SCARS organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and Good Amateur Practice. This SCARS server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System, provided by Kilo Bravo 8, Zulu Golf Lima. In all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off the system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short-time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they've checked in. Information regarding our operation may be found at www.scarsvoip.com. Your net control for this section is actually Tony, KJ4PUJ. My name is Kathleen. My call is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and I'm merely opening it up this evening. I'm located in the beautiful city of Port St. Lucie, Florida, where it's still a current temperature of 91 degrees, high today of about 93, feels like it's about 102, and low tonight of about 73. So prior to starting, I'd like to ask, is there any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled at this time? If so, I ask you to come aboard. All right, no emergency traffic, and that's always a great thing. How about anybody celebrating a birthday? Maybe last week, this week, or maybe the upcoming week that would like to come aboard so we could say happy, happy. All right, no birthday stations either. That means none of us are getting any older. This is the monthly Thursday Informational Net Open Forum, or TIN for short. This net is conducted to provide information pursuant to amateur-related subjects and or other areas of general interest to those participating. All are encouraged to participate and ask questions of our guest speaker or speakers. But I do want to advise all stations here tonight that if you have been connected to the net and you spoke maybe this evening, you'll be on that recording that we always post on our website as a podcast. So like I said, all stations participating will be part of that recording. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November once again. I want to welcome all of South Coast joining our session tonight. Especially want to say hello to you, Tony, KJ4PUJ, and ask that you please keep your weather, not in your area, send it somewhere else, because I'm flying to North Carolina on Saturday, and I sure don't want the weather. But also, I'd like all of you to keep some of our South Coast family in your thoughts and prayers, the Jordan family, that is Chief and Charlotte, and the Slav family from Russia. They need our thoughts and our prayers, so please keep them in your thoughts. So with that, Tony, I'm going to throw it over to you. Hopefully you'll have a fun time, and hopefully that weather will stay away from you. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, turning it over to KJ4PUJ.
Good evening, Kathy, and thank you. This is KJ4PUJ, Tony, and just outside Charleston, South Carolina, where it's hot, muggy, about 90 degrees, and there's a line of thunderstorms about 45 minutes away. So we have a severe thunderstorm warning, so I apologize in advance. If I lose connectivity, we've got a backup plan all set, though, so please don't fret about that and sit back and enjoy. And let me buy a nickel. Okay, this is KJ4PUJ from the Carolinas. Just to let you folks know, anybody just tuning in late or just now hearing the sound of our voices, we're going to be talking about emergency preparedness tonight. Some of the references I'll make will be primarily to North America, but I understand we have international audiences listening. I will throw up websites in the text box. And if anybody has any questions as things go along, please feel free to ask. Also, it would be appreciated that if something pops into your mind and after the show or whatever, the recording will be up on the website. And also, you can always email me, and I'll throw my email in there once or twice before the evening's over. KJ4PUJ, and I'm going to pause for a second. Okay. We're going to start with the really basics of preparedness, which is taking care of yourself. You can't take care of anybody else until you take care of yourself. So once a year, you need to get a physical. Get yourself checked out. Get your animals checked out. Puppies, kitties, birds, snakes, whatever, turtles, whatever you got. Make sure your vehicles are in good working order. Make sure your home is child-proof, pet-proof, and physically secure. You can do all these things ahead of time. There's some really simple checklists out there. You can probably ask your insurance company or your local police department. They've got the home security checklist. If not, again, shoot me an email, and I'm happy to find that information for you. Moving along, pay attention to the weather. I mentioned earlier that Charleston area, Carolina, Georgia coast is going to be facing some severe thunderstorms this evening. Most of us live in a particular region of the planet where we have seasonal severe weather. Folks, northern half of North America, it's the winter time for them. Folks in the Midwest, it's the spring with tornadoes. Folks in the Southeast, it's usually in middle of May to the end of November hurricane season. So California, the West Coast, they get fires in the summer. So everybody has their issues. KJ4PUJ, buy a nickel. One of the other things you need to think about is the terrain where you live. If you live in a major metro area, what kind of options do you have to evacuate, if any? Do you even have a vehicle if you live in a major metro area? Do you rely on public transportation? You might want to think about plans to shelter in place. If you live out in a rural area, how close are your nearest neighbors? Are they a couple hundred yards away, or are they a couple of miles away? Are you able to take care of yourself for several days at a time without any assistance? KJ4PUJ, I'm going to pause. When you're making plans, make sure you have at least a primary and a one-off in it, and make sure that everybody in your house who's old enough to babysit or older is aware of it. So if you've got some preteen or teenage kids that are pretty mature or know how to drive the family tractor or lawnmower, it's probably a good idea that they know what the plans are too, as well as your spouse, your significant other, and any regular visitors to your house. I mean, if you've got neighbors or friends that come over for coffee every Saturday or whatever, probably wouldn't hurt to have them knowing what's going on as well. So I'm going to pause for just a second here and open it up for questions. This is KJ4PUJ back to K6SUN, and we'll open it up for any questions.
Six, Victor, and I'll let you pick up the call-ins. Tony, over.
Go ahead, sir.
Muchas gracias. That's language I know that you're familiar with your time down in the Keys. I just wanted to thank you and let the whole audience know that Tony is joining us here this evening with a whole bushel basket of years of experience in the subject that he's discussing, and knows the ropes inside out. So if you have any questions at all, please parley him in his direction. And if he doesn't have an immediate answer for that, I know Tony's style. He'll research it and get back to you fairly pronto. And I want to thank you for your preparation time, Tony. I know that a program of this magnitude takes some time and effort to gather the thoughts together in a manner that can be presented and make sense. And I know you've done that, and thank you. Back to you, Tony, KY6V.
KJ4PUJ, thank you, sir. Most kind of you. I'll appreciate it. And I'm going to pause, and we'll open it up for any questions. Again, this is KJ4PUJ. This is South Cars, and we're talking about emergency preparedness. Okay, hearing no questions, we're going to move on. The next subject, and for most of us listening, being amateur radio operators, should not be too big a surprise, is communications. If you're like most folks nowadays, you don't have a landline. Me personally, I haven't had a landline in 15 years, other than whatever hotels or friends' houses I was staying at. But so what's your backup plan? Do you have a CB besides your amateur radio? Do you have the radios they sell at Walmart or hunting outdoor supply stores, you know, the GFRS radios. While they don't have the range that a ham radio has, it's better than nothing if you need to yell for help. I'm going to buy a nickel here. The next thing I want to talk to folks about is evacuating. If your local officials, whether it's a natural disaster or a man-made industrial accident or whatever the situation may be, if your local officials tell you to evacuate the area that you're in, whether it's your place of employment or your residency, they're not doing so to be jerks. They're doing so because they need you out of there and the situation is pretty urgent. The other thing is if they ask you to shelter in place, that may be the best bet as well. Depending on the wind direction, any precipitation that's expected in the area. For those that have any knowledge of hazmat situations or hazardous materials spills, chemical spills, heaven forbid a nuclear power plant reaction or something like that, which way the wind is blowing, how fast it's blowing, and any expected precipitation has a huge determination on the size of any cordons that the authorities will put in place. This is KJ4PUJ, and I'm going to pause for a moment. Keeping on the evacuation thing, if you do evacuate, whether it's by choice or by direction, go uphill and upwind unless there's absolutely no alternative. Going downwind or downhill risks you to the hazards of the air or in the ground. You know, your nearest exit may be downwind, but your safest exit may be upwind, walking through the woods to get away from the incident and let the wind carry whatever the chemicals or whatever's in the air away from you. So keep that in mind. You know, be prepared to take care of yourselves for at least a week. Do not rely on any type of government organized assistance for at least that long. Because there's going to come a point in time where if it's a major incident, now I'm going to use a hurricane since a fair amount of our folks are in the southeast. If there's an incident and you call 911, nobody's coming because the first responders are going to be hunkered down themselves. So this is KJ4PUJ, and I'm going to pause for an FCC moment. Keep in mind that the public safety people coming to your aid have to make sure that there's families are safe first. They need to get organized, get the supplies, logistics, get rallied, and then get to your area. This takes time. So contrary to what you see on the movies and television, the National Guard or FEMA is not going to be showing up in an hour or two. It's going to be days and or a week, depending on the severity of the incident. You need to learn to deal with things when they are small problems before they become bigger issues. KJ4PUJ, and I'm going to pause for any questions at this time.
Six, Victor.
Go ahead, sir.
Tony, I have always been asking myself the question, the legal side and the realistic side. When it comes to a mandatory evacuation order, from your local area, are you legally bound to take off and leave? Or can you be stubborn and say, no, I'm not going to, and not be prosecuted for making that decision? Now, I realize, and you realize, and I think everybody that is rational realizes when they say that, you know, you ought to get up and boogie, they mean that, you know, this is the safest thing you can do. But how about these people that you hear, I'm going to write it out type thing, Tony, over.
Well, you struck a nerve on that one because I've been worked many hurricanes, as you know, and, you know, mandatory evacuations orders are usually listed by the local or state emergency management area, and if you choose not to leave, even after somebody's come knocked on your door and told you to leave, and you're on your own, and you you have, from a legal standpoint, removed any government agency or official from any liability, because it's like, we told y'all to leave, and you're not a first responder, and you're not a medical person or somebody who would otherwise be required to stay, and you didn't leave, you're on your own. That's the reality of it. Whether or not someone actually would get prosecuted for it, unless a first responder was injured as a result of those actions, or something along those lines, or you had an overly aggressive prosecutor, I don't see that happening. I mean, that's just a, now that I'm retired, I can say this, it's a public relations nightmare waiting to happen. KJ4PUJ, back to KY6V.
Yeah, I understand what you said completely. Thank you for that, Tony. You know, I often wonder, you got hurricanes coming in on the Outer Banks up there in your general area, and people that live out on the Outer Banks says, the heck with it, I'm going to stay right here and I'm going to ride it out. And I realize what you're saying about, you know, they've cut themselves off for any support when they make that decision. But I was just wondering about the legality and the prosecution. And you always have to leave the door open for the over-aggressive prosecutor, don't you, Tony? KY6V, over.
Yes, sir, you do. It doesn't matter which political side of the fence they fall on, there's always some knucklehead that wants to make a name for themselves and get themselves reelected. So, and I'm going to leave that one float out there, and y'all can decide what that means. But I'm going to go back onto the emergency preparedness script that we have here. And the next thing I want to talk about to folks is when you're making your preparations, particularly if you are taking anything type of medication, or you've got children or older folks or anybody with special needs, you know, if you've got regular medication needs, and it gets to be hurricane season, and again, I'm going to use hurricane season, or in the wintertime, maybe blizzard season, you should probably keep about 2 weeks of medication on hand. And you can work with your doctor's office to make sure, and the pharmacy to make sure that that happens. But if you have anything like insulin that needs to be kept refrigerated, you know, you need to plan for that too. If you've, you know, don't forget things like vitamins and aspirin and ibuprofen and antacids and Band-Aids and peroxide and, you know, just things that you would need that you're not going to have time to put together in the event of an actual emergency. Let me pause for the cause here. This is KJ4PUJ. The other thing I would say on is, if it's been more than 5 years since you took a first aid or CPR class, some things have changed and you should probably get current. If you have some clothes that still fit that you were otherwise going to donate to charity, maybe a little loose and baggy, maybe get some rips and tears in them or whatever, but, you know, they otherwise still fit, put some of those aside for, your emergency kit. Have at least one or two changes of clothes. Don't forget your socks and your underwear and your T-shirts and a lightweight jacket or a raincoat or all those kinds of things. So, finances, and I know this is, you know, an issue for a lot of people nowadays. Don't go for the 7 to 10 day, you know, prep lists tomorrow. Work within your budget. Start with 24 to 48 hours. Build it to 72, then build it to 96, and so on. Also, in terms of cash, figure out your family's budget for food and water and gasoline for 2 weeks. Not talking your bills. I'm talking food, water, gasoline, medication, whatever for 2 weeks. Whatever that normally is, try and put that cash away in a secure location that's easily accessible. I wouldn't put it in a lockbox. I would put it in a lockbox, but I wouldn't put it in like a bank vault or anything like that, where, you know, the bank may not be open because there's no power to open the bank and you can't get to your money. So I would find some place and, you know, bury it, or if you got a safe in your house or whatever works for you. So, again, stay within your budget. It may take several months to get a 10-day kit, but start with the basics and work upon that. KJ4PUJ, let me buy a nickel. Another thing to keep in mind is you don't have to do this all by yourself. If you've got friends and neighbors that you actually get along with or co-workers who are willing to work with you, you can plan and discuss these things and you know, share the workload, as it were. If your next-door neighbor has a generator that's going to power the whole block, say, hey, can we use some of that if we have to, and then, you know, we'll help with the fuel and the maintenance costs. Again, I can't stress this enough. Pay attention to the weather at least once a day, because you really need to get over the it won't happen to me. And I think in the last 15 years, almost every part of the United States, the lower 48 at least, has had some sort of natural disaster within, you know, 150 miles or so of them. I'm not going to get into the whole climate change issue, but you know, you need to be prepared to take care of yourself, bottom line. I'm going to pause here for just a second and open it up to any questions. KY6V or K6SUN, any questions so far?
Echo Whiskey Golf.
Yeah, and 6 Victor, I had walked away from the equipment, but I was still listening to every word, Tony. KY6V, over.
Okay. Echo, copy that, 6 Victor. Echo Whiskey Golf. David, go ahead.
Well, good evening to you, Tony. First of all, fine job so far on the TIN here. I've been a trained storm spotter with Skywarn for 30 years now. This just became a ham. I was a storm spotter from the beginning. May 22nd, 2011, we did get hit by an EF2 tornado here in La Crosse, and I did wind up getting evacuated from my building for 3 days as a result. Power failures and gas leaks and everything else, I wound up getting evacuated from the building. So I have been through such a situation there, and as I said, I am a trained spotter. As a matter of fact, I was on the active weather net when the tornado hit my building. I was checked in with the net there, and just as power went out, I grabbed a handy talkie and got back online, and all of a sudden I started hearing the proverbial freight train sound that people talk about, and debris hit my window. So I had to tell net control at the weather service office I had to take cover. So I grabbed my dog and my handy talkie and took cover in the bathroom there. So. And the building I was in did get hit. I posted a video on YouTube. In fact, I shared a link in the text box here and emailed a few South Cars members the link to the video from said tornado. That very same tornado, let me buy a nickel here. That same tornado would have hit the news, except that was the exact same day that Joplin, Missouri, got hit by its EF5 and got wiped off the map there. So the same day Joplin got theirs, we got ours. And like I said, I did get evacuated from the building for 3 days. So I do understand about the evacuations and everything else there. I've been through it. Back here there, Tony, this is KB9EWG.
Okay, thanks for sharing that, Dave. And when I get a chance later on, I'm gonna take a look at that video. 6 Victor, did you have something to just go around?
No, negative, Tony. I'm sorry. We got some things going on here in the background, but I'm not losing any track of your presentation. KY6V, over.
Ready is knowing your risk and making a plan and having an alternate. It's going to take you about 90 minutes or so to formalize a plan. And again, I say, you know, all the members of your household that are, you know, over babysitting age probably need to be participate in it. Some things you need to think about are some safe exits from your home and your neighborhood, meeting places to reunite with family and or roommates, designated people to pick up your small children should you be unavailable. Most schools nowadays have a primary and alternate person. I would recommend a third and fourth person be put on that list as well. Contact persons close by and out of town, at least 100 miles away. For more than 35 years now, Both my brothers who live up in New England, we have an agreement. If something happens, you know, to one of us, we call one of the other two or text nowadays, and they take care of notifying the rest of the family. We've been doing that, you know, long before there were cell phones. Keep a list of your health information and medications, including any chronic conditions for yourself and any pets. And where are you and your pet going to stay? I mean, Gordon knows, Kathy knows, I have a rather large Rottweiler, but I have plans for him. I mean, I have contingency plans for everyday situations. I have a folder in the house that if something happens to me, it has specific instructions of what to do to make sure he's taken care of. The kennel has a copy of it. There are people with keys to our house that have a copy of it. So have you thought these things through? I'm going to buy a nickel here, KJ4PUJ. Okay, it looks like I was doubling Six Victor. You want to come on back, Gordon?
Yeah, thanks, Tony. I was just saying that we had some things going on here in the background, but I'm not losing any track of your presentation. You know, we've been doing some advertising and questioning on our live section of the website, trying to promote thinking about your program that you're presenting tonight. And one of those had a question that was, how can you economically or affordably protect your home when something like this happens? I don't know if you want to answer this right now or do it further into the program. I'll leave that up to you. Let me buy a nickel a second. One of the items that I saw mentioned, other than the routine, you know, clean your gutters and pick up the loose debris out on your lawns and all that kind of stuff, was to cover up your outside air conditioning compressor unit. Now, I've never thought about that before, but that's a doggone good idea. But you don't want to cover it up where you smother it. So the question before the house, is there some commercial barricade that you can put around, buy and put around your air conditioner? It's basically, I think, to stop flying objects of running in and caving the compressor unit in two, that type of thing. Any comments on that, Tony? And if you want to put it on to later, that's fine. KY6V, over.
No, that's actually a great question, Gordon, and I've been asked that before. My recommendation is, and I was fortunate the house that that my wife purchased came with a picket fence around the outside air conditioning units. Which allows for ventilation, looks pretty and keeps the HOA happy, but also allows, you know, protects it from anything flying through the street. It's protected on, three sides. One is the house, two sides by fence and a greenhouse, and then the third side is open for maintenance access, but that faces the little retention pond we have behind the house, so there's, you know, the odds of something coming across the retention pond are pretty negligible, so I don't really worry about that, but that's a great thing, yeah. I recommend chain link fences or picket fences, if that's a short answer to your question. KJ4PUJ.
Very good. Thank you, Tony. Yeah, one of the thoughts that I had immediately about that was a chain link fence right around the unit itself. With an entranceway, you know, obviously, and gate or whatever. Okay, thank you for that, sir. KY6V, back to net.
All righty, this is KJ4PUJ, and we're talking about emergency preparedness. Any other questions out there before I keep going? Okay, hearing none. The next thing I want to talk about is during an emergency, and if you've, you know, your plans have just gone to hell in a handbasket and nothing's working, you know, when to call 911 and when to call the non-emergency number. And it's one thing I strongly recommend if everybody has cell phones, even if you just keep them in the car and use them for emergency, that you have the non-emergency phone number for the city, county, or state police in your area. And you can probably find that either online or in a phone book if anybody's still actually using phone books anymore. But so let's say you have a tree down on a country road and there's no traffic. Well, that would be a non-emergency call. You have a medical emergency, or there's something on fire, or someone's life is being threatened or has a medical need right away, those are 911 calls. And for those of you that are listening from outside the United States or Canada, the three-digit 911 is what we use here in the United States for our emergency to summon police, fire, or emergency medical people. I'm going to buy a nickel here. This is KJ4PUG, and you're listening to the SCARS VOIP 10 program. Okay, let's talk about your plan. And the reason I say make a plan is you can always change a plan. As time goes, as your resources grow, as your kit gets bigger, as your family gets a little older and a little more used to doing these things, you can always change a plan. Having no plan invites Mr. Murphy of Murphy's Law and chaos. So, you know, those of you that served in the military may have heard of the six P's. And if you haven't and you want an explanation so I don't annoy the FCC, you should probably email me for an explanation. KJ4PUJ, and I'm going to pause for the cause.
Victor Hotel.
Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, good evening, Tony, and good evening to everyone on board. This is Steve from Lafayette, Louisiana. I wanted to make sure when you mentioned the number, the non-emergency number, I didn't know whether you were talking about a seven-digit number or one of the support numbers like 211 or 311, depending on where you live. But there's advanced processing for those three-digit numbers. Back to you, Tony, KF5VH.
That's a good point, Steve. And I didn't get into those alternative three-digit numbers because some parts of the country have them and some parts don't. I always recommend having the full 10-digit area code and prefix and four-digit suffix number plugged in your cell phone, and that way it goes straight through. And if that doesn't get through or they put you on hold, you can always hang up and call 911. The operator might get mad at you, but at least you got through and help will be coming. Did that answer your question, Steve? KJ4PUJ.
Yes, sir. And thanks for leading the show tonight, KF5VH.
It's my pleasure. Gordon and Kathy asked me to. We did this about, I guess, 9 or 10 years ago at this point. There's been a recording of that session up on the SCAR server now for all those years. And Gordon had asked me to dust it off and freshen it up and present it again tonight. So I'm happy to do that. KJ4PUJ, I'm going to take a quick pause here and then get moving unless there's any other questions. Okay, hearing none, we're going to talk about sheltering in place. Something happens quick, and you're in the middle of the situation, and let's just say it's an overturned fuel truck, and it becomes a hazardous materials exposure incident. One of the things you need to do is close and lock all your doors, turn off your air conditioning or your heating, and I know that's going to get uncomfortable probably pretty quick if you got enough people in the office space or the house where you're at, but trust me, whatever's in the air outside, you do not want it being brought inside your house or your place of employment. Don't forget to close the fireplace dampener if you've got one of those. You know, if you've got your home or in your office and you've got your pre-made emergency kit, It's a good time to activate it. If you've got, as long as you have power, turn on your local TV and radio stations. And I know it's kind of, you know, not fashionable to have an old-fashioned radio anymore, but I'm telling you, folks, you know, find out where your AM news stations or your FM news stations are for your local, and pre-tune your radios to that station, because if something happens, that's what you want. You want your local news people telling you what's going on. KJ4PUJ, and I'm going to pause for just a second. You don't have to get real fancy and real expensive when making preparations to shelter in place. Duct tape, garbage bag, plastic sheeting, plastic tarps, you know, $50 at Walmart, depending on the size of your house, will probably take care of, you know, most of it. If you pay attention to supplies, some of these places you can find tarps online at Amazon for like $4.99 for an 8x10 tarp. You know, just, you don't have to get crazy. You don't have to get creative. Just, you want to take reasonable precautions to seal up any outside exposure. So, and again, we've talked about evacuation orders. If you're asked to leave, you need to go, because there's going to come a point in time, if the situation is serious enough, where you call 911, nobody's coming. Either because you're inside the zone, or because in the event of a hurricane, first responders are all hunkered down. So at this point, I'm going to pause for just a second. This is KJ4PUJ on the SCARS VOIP network, and we're talking about emergency preparedness, and I'm going to open it up for any questions.
Six, Victor, Tony.
Go ahead, sir.
Well, you know, I was sitting back, Tony, thinking about my days of going through Hurricane Andrew. I was in place when that came through the Miami area and went right over the top of me. And I got thinking about your comment, you know, when your plan doesn't work. I want to tell a quick story, and I'll try and make it as brief as possible. Let me buy a nickel here. I was responsible for the TV engineering side of our TV station down there. We had an 1,849-foot tower and a transmitter site that had triple and quadruple suspenders and belts for backups. Basically speaking, we had dual power systems feeding the property. If one substation went out, the other would take off over automatically. We had a 500 kW brand spanking new Cummings generator. We had a wall-to-wall ups that would run the entire TV station, and that was a 200 kW station, I might add, for about 20 minutes before it ran out of battery. But by that time, you know, the Cummings was supposed to be online. So let me buy a nickel. So, you know, we were sitting there pretty happy that we had covered the waterfront. In comes Andrew. I stood out in the parking lot when the eye went over the top, and I said, isn't this nice? It was so calm and so nice. And then all hell broke loose when the back end started coming over us. The tower went down, all 1,849 feet of it, part of it over the transmitter building. But before the tower actually collapsed, we lost power. And we said, how can we do that? We've got too many backups. Well, we were on the Cummings generator. I looked up. I was in the building with a couple of my engineers. I looked up at the soup panel, the supervisory panel on the wall, and this thing said, we shut down for overspeed. Overspeed, I beg your pardon? All right, I know I'm running this too long, but here, one more nickel. So when it was all said and done and we were picking up the pieces and we were all glad that we were still alive, we figured it out. This Cummings generator was sitting on a pad outside. It had its normal collar covering on it with the louvers and so on for ventilation. Well, when this storm came in, it blew heavy winds in through the cowling air spots on the side of the generator and waved up everything inside the engine, including turning the fan on the engine faster than it was supposed to go. So what I'm saying here is there are some plans that just don't work, and you never know what's going to bite you. Go ahead, Tony, KY6V, over.
Yeah, that's sometimes Mr. Murphy shows up when you least expect him, even when you plan that. Remind me to share my moving the boat from South Carolina to Georgia story with you one time when we have some more time. Similar thing, made all the kinds of plans, and Mr. Murphy showed up. So thanks for sharing that, Gordon. I'm going to take a quick pause here, see if there's any other questions out there. This is KJ4PUJ. Okay, hearing none, we're going to keep going on down my script here. You know, one of the things I talk about sheltering in place or securing your home, if you do have to evacuate, again, for a hurricane or a wildfire or earthquake or, you know, whatever the situation may be, don't forget to turn off your water and your gas and your electricity. You know, if you think you're only going to be gone for, you know, 8 to 10 hours, okay, shut your power off and, you know, your refrigerator should be good for about 12 hours. But if you're evacuating, you know, and you don't know when you're going to be back, you need to turn all those things off. Because in the event of a situation, you could have reverse, you know, explosions through the electrical lines if your immediate area is affected. Gas lines could be damaged if you have gas in your house. So there's just all kinds of things. Water lines could be contaminated, so you don't want contaminated water getting into your, you know, getting into your system, your filters or whatever. So keep that in mind as you're securing your house at this time. Usually with hurricanes, you get at least 2 or 3 days notice that they're coming. Of all the natural disasters, they are by far the most polite. They tell you they're coming well in advance. So let me buy a nickel. Okay, this is KJ4PUJ, and most of us listening are licensed amateur radios, or at least have one in the house if you're listening on somebody else's system right now. But, you know, communications, we talked about it, I touched upon it earlier. Don't just rely on your cell phones or your landlines or your ham radio. Have a second or third, whether it's a CB or one of those family radio systems that they sell at outdoor supply stores or, you know, the big box stores or whatever. Have something. If your neighbors are not ham radio operators, some of these CB and other systems you do not need a license to. So, you know, maybe you guys can pitch in together and you have the base station for the neighborhood, and, you know, everybody else has got handheld. And you, since you're a ham radio operator, you sort of coordinate the traffic. Which brings me to my next topic, emergency communication nets. Find out ahead of time the frequencies and everything for your region, I would say at least 100 miles from your regular house. Let me buy a nickel. This is KJ4PUJ. You know, during an emergency is not the time to create your own emergency net. Those of you that have been part of SouthCars for, you know, more than 8 or 9 years, remember when the earthquakes happened down in Haiti. We turned the net, you know, we made it available for the first couple of days for any emergency traffic. And if memory serves, I think we even canceled some routine nets that were scheduled so that we could assist as necessary. It was volunteered and, you know, didn't get used that much, but we made it available. Don't go creating your own emergency nets. So if you want to get involved with emergency management traffic, there's Aries and Races and Saturn and Mars. And you can go to, you know, look up emergency ham radio communications with your internet browser, and it'll give you 4 or 5 options, and then you just have to find something for your local area. Let me buy a nickel. Okay, I'm going to move right along here because I'm trying to keep this to around an hour or so. This is KJ4PUJ. We're on the South Cars server tonight, and we're talking about emergency preparedness. Your basic emergency kit, and I've sort of touched on some of these things already, so I'm going to move right along. food, water, medicine, shelter. You don't have to have a camper or an RV or anything like that. You can get by with some pup tents and or even some tarps, you know. Again, those cheap tarps I mentioned, you put one over you and one under you and you're off the ground. And you can also use them as emergency blankets if necessary. Don't be, if it's an emergency, folks, don't expect creature comforts. Be prepared to sleep on the ground or sleep in your vehicle or the back of a pickup truck or whatever the case may be. It's more important to be safe than it is to be comfortable in a situation like that. So if you've never been on a camping trip, I suggest you go on a camping trip that doesn't involve a lodge or a hot shower for at least 48 hours. And if you can survive that, then you can probably survive most emergency situations. So let me buy a nickel, KJ4PUJ. Don't forget things like spare batteries and a first aid kit and medications and a 5-gallon jug of gasoline for whatever vehicle you're driving. And if you're taking a portable generator, some extra gas for the generator. These are all things that you need to plan out. When I was living down in the Florida Keys for several years, I had a little utility trailer that would fit my motorcycle, the generator, and all the emergency supplies in case I had to bug out. And we had to live on the side of the road for a few days. We could, self-sustaining. So, wasn't pretty, wasn't comfortable, but it was safe. So, keep those things in mind. Those of you that are amateur radio operators, if you're using handhelds, or smartphone devices, make sure you have spare battery packs. If those of you that, like to use your smartphones or your tablets for everything, you can go to some store like Best Buy and get those chargeable backup battery supplies. One brand is called Mophie, and the only reason I know that is I've got family members that's the brand they swear by. But you pre-charge them ahead of time, and you got backup battery supply for your tablets and cell phones. So, old-fashioned paper maps for your region. Everybody likes to have smartphone apps and Google Maps and GPS and Apple Maps and all that. Learn how to read a paper map and use an old-fashioned compass. If you don't know how, go on YouTube, learn. If they can't figure it out, send me an email and I'm happy to send you some land navigation 101 stuff. So I'm going to open it up for questions here because I'm rapidly moving through the end of my script. So this is KJ4PUJ. And I'm opening up for questions here.
LXD.
And 6, Victor.
LXD. Go ahead, Dave.
Well, first, let me thank you, Tony, for the presentation. It's very informative, and my wife and I are, she's listening, and we appreciate it very much. This question, I just don't have any experience, and I hear that you do, and others might. My son was asking me. He's in Tallahassee. And doing his hurricane preparedness, and he was asking, which I didn't know, when a hurricane happens, what is the experience, or what experience do you know as far as the reliability of the natural gas supply? Is that fairly robust in its infrastructure, i.e., for having reasonable assurances that your fuel to your generator will be there, or? Just what has your experience been as far as that surviving a lot of the, particular hurricane events? Back to you, WA3LXD.
That's a great question, Dave. I appreciate it. And my experience would be that, if you are tied into a municipal gas service, which Tallahassee, I know parts of it are, and I think that's Leon County, if memory serves correctly, that, the local emergency managers always have the option of shutting down that supply if it looks like it's going to be a direct hit to that area. So, again, I'm a big believer in not counting on any type of outside assistance for at least, 72 hours or more. I always try and plan for at least a week to 10 days. after that, you get into rotating things and trying to keep them fresh and so they don't go out of date and expiration. But, you know, it's not that hard. When you go to the grocery store, you buy a new can of corn, you put it in the back of the cupboard, and you move the old can of corn to the front. So it's, you know, it's not that big a deal. But in terms of the utilities, it's going to be different around the country, and I don't want to make any absolute statements, but it would be my recommendation that he doesn't count on having it. Did that answer your question, KJ4PUJ?
Yeah, it sure did, and that's good advice. Don't count on anything, and I guess I'll take back to him, because that's new input to me, that the emergency managers may actually just turn it off as a preventative move for an event of a direct hit. So I very much appreciate that. Back to you.
Happy to help, Dave. Six Victor, you had a comment?
Yeah, thank you, Tony. And thank you, Dave. That was an excellent question, and I share Tony's answer on that. Just don't think that you may have some of the services during the episode that you would normally have. Which leads me to the comment that I wanted to make, Tony, and that is that I don't hear this mentioned very often. But, you know, you lose water, you lose power, you lose this, you lose that, you lose your sanity maybe. But in the water department, what we have done in this type of scenario is to clean out the bathtubs. Now, normal houses, you know, probably have at least two bathtubs. You've got a great holder of water. So we clean out if we have enough notice that the storm is coming in, we'll clean out the bathtubs and we'll fill them up to the top with water. And this gives us a number of things to do. If we want to drink it, we can always boil it. Barbecue grill or whatever is necessary if we don't have power. We can also use it for flushing the toilet. If you don't have any water, those toilets don't work very well. And I don't hear that mentioned very often, but it sure comes in handy in my mind's eye, Tony. KY6V, over.
Absolutely, and for those that never have done it or thought about it before, some simple duct tape around the drain, yeah, it's going to leave a sticky residue, but elbow grease and some Dawn dishwashing will get it off. Yeah, wash your tubs out with soapy bleach water if you have time, and, you know, like Gord said, you know something's coming. And fill them up, and, you know, there's at least 25, 30 gallons of water. Recommended water consumption is 1 gallon per person per day, and that includes your critters. So, like in my house, we have two humans and a dog, so that would be 3 gallons of water per day, and that's just for hydration. You can probably figure another gallon a day, you know, for sanitation. So, you know, make those calculations appropriately. You know, bathtubs, you can buy on Amazon. They look like gas cans, but they're blue. They're for drinking water, and they come in five-gallon size. And they're blue, so you don't confuse them with gas cans. And I mean, I've got three of those, plus a cooler that I would normally fill with ice. And, you know, the ice turns to water, and you can drink that, too. So if you do a little bit of planning ahead of time, you can survive. And again, folks, it's not creature comforts. If you're looking to stay at the Ritz after a hurricane, you're living in a fantasy world, and I'm going to call it like I see it. And if that offends you, I'm sorry, but that's the reality of it. So you need to plan for the worst, hope for the best, and again, you can always change a plan, but no plan. Military and law enforcement first responder for more than 30 years, parts of 4 decades. You don't have a plan, you're asking for problems. And that's my opinion, based on my experience. So, KJ4PUJ, I'm going to pause here, open it up for any more questions, because I'm running out of script here, and I've got the weather's knocking on my back door.
Victor Hotel.
Seven Ocean.
Go ahead, Steve, you were first.
Thank you, Tony. On the subject of water, I was going to mention two additional things. Rather than cleaning out that tub, there is a device called a water bob. It is essentially a large plastic bag designed enclosed with a trunk that you put up over the fill faucet for the tub. And it just sits in there, you fill it up with water, and you can take it out as you need it. The other thing I think people should remember is I have two 40-gallon hot water heaters. So if things are bad, you can go up there and tap those hot water heaters. You'll have to go up to them to do it if there's no water pressure. But fresh water sitting right there. Back to you, Tony, KF5VH.
Yeah, that's a great idea about the water heater, Steve. I had actually forgotten about that one until you just mentioned it. So always another source. And again, folks, don't wait till something happens. You know, try and figure these things out. Pull out a piece of good old-fashioned paper and pencil and sit down and just, you know, what if yourself to death. Get your neighbor or your best friend to come over and have them what if with you and, you know, walk around your house and all kinds of things. And if you, in case you didn't see it in the text box, this whole session is being recorded. As well as all my notes will be up on the session, and all my notes will be up on the website within the next day or so. Try and, you know, Gordon or Kathy or myself will mention it on Saturday as well. So, you know, if you missed it or you came in late, don't worry about it. You can always email me. I've thrown my email in there a couple times in the text box. So please don't be bashful about asking questions. If you can't find something where you live, tell me, you know, the city, state, and county where you live, or territory if you're not outside the, if you're not in the U.S., and I'll try and help you find the information that's publicly available. So please don't be afraid to ask for help. Let me pause for a moment. Okay, Gary, looks like you had a question as well. Come aboard.
I think that was George, N070, Tony.
Okay, N070, if you're still there and you still have a question, come on aboard. If you're busy, just put something in the text box and I'll come back to you.
Oh, well, good evening, Tony. No, I'm here. I just want to make sure I wasn't stepping on anyone. Well, good evening, Tony, and thank you for the information tonight. I just wanted to mention an opportunity that is available since about 2000-2001 for people who are interested in becoming involved with emergency communications, emergency support, emergency relief, and that is the Medical Reserve Corps. Now, you do not have to have necessarily have medical training or background to participate with the Medical Reserve Corps. They have administrative and non-medical positions that are involved with their mission. Of course, there are also the medical positions, and those usually do require some advanced and specific medical training. Let me reset, please. However, the Medical Reserve Corps has been gaining strength over the last 15, 18, 20 years, not quite 20 yet, and they provide the added advantage of both online activities as well as those where you have to go and participate in person during the drills and pretend events where they pretend to dispense medications after disasters and so forth. So the advantage of this is that there are usually monthly to bi-monthly drill activities that are online, and then there are required annual and semi-annual events. So that is an excellent way to find a way to become involved. Now, they are a part of the Department of Homeland Security. You do have to pass a background check. You have to have verification if you're going to be helping on the medical side of your medical licenses and keep your continuing education units up and so forth. But it is an excellent way and a very real way to provide direct relief of health, comfort, safety, and welfare following a disaster. And it just takes a little bit of prior planning and prior activity Get to know them, let them get to know you. Participate in the activities so that they can observe and sign you off as being ready for the activities. And then next thing you know, you will definitely be receiving calls to help with both drill and real emergency activities. So thank you for hearing me out, Tony. Did want to mention that as an opportunity, because I know it can be frustrating trying to find places to be of help when we are interested in emergency relief. Thank you. KJ4PUJ on the TIN, NL70. Back to you.
Most kind of you, sir, and I'm glad you brought that up. While he was talking, I threw in the Medical Reserve Corps text box, or the web address in the text box, and it's mrc.hhs.gov. So, KJ4PUJ, Lima Charlie Bravo, did you have a question? Okay, hearing nothing, we're going to move along. I'm going to open it up one more time for questions, because I literally have severe thunderstorms and tornado watch over us right now, so I'm going to start wrapping this up. This has been KJ4PUJ from the Carolina coastline, and we're talking about emergency preparedness on the South Car server. I'm going to open it up one last time for questions before I start closing things up.
NL70 with another comment on a different topic, please. Over.
And 6 Victor. Stand by, guys. He's back on. Looks like that storm's getting close to him. Tony went offline, came back on. Tony, you back with us?
Yeah, I'm back, sir. Go ahead, 7 Oscar. My iPad there locked up for a second, so I had to get out and come back in.
Well, thank you, Tony. KJ4, PUJ and the TIN. NL70. Well, I remember Gordon asking earlier on the TIN about protection of property, and he was talking about air conditioners and some excellent suggestions, including from George South down there as well. I would like to mention that we all should consider homeowners insurance and even renters insurance as a way of protecting our property, our ham radio station and equipment, our very welfare, having a roof and shelter over our head afterwards later. The expense to rebuild can be significant. The cost can be very reasonable and economical. Now, I can't really speak to the homeowners, but I know that for renter's insurance, if I even just leave a handy talkie or walkie-talkie in the car and it is taken, my renter's insurance will cover the replacement cost of that device. So that's an added protection for emergency communication support. Of course, if there's another disaster, flood, fire, whatever, then it's all included in renter's insurance. And it's something like $12 to $20 a month, so depending upon your carrier. So it is worth looking into and considering the cost ratio benefit. All right, thank you, Tony. And 7-3, thanks for everything I've heard tonight, too. KJ4PUJ and the TIN, NL70.
Well, thank you, sir. Once again, those are good suggestions, yeah. And I neglected to mention those. You know, whatever your insurance policies are for your car, your home, renters, your business, whatever, you can probably get some health and safety checklists from those companies, too. And again, if you can't find anything for your area or you're just perplexed, please feel free to shoot me a text. Or if you can't find my email address, just send it to the VOIP website, and they'll get it to me, and I'll get back to you in a reasonable amount of time. So, KY6V, you had another comment, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Tony, and I'll make this short. I know you want to wrap it and get things ready for the storm, the current storm that's coming in on you. And thank you, George, on that, about the insurance. I want to add that our live section of the website has been covering a number of questions relative to this program tonight, and one of the questions was, what can you economically do to protect your home during a storm type thing? And it mentions insurance in the answer that is posted, so take a look at that as well. Tony, I just wanted to reiterate what you've said. Let me buy a nickel. And that is that we will attempt to have the podcast for this session posted on the website sometime tomorrow, along with the recording. Will be a document that you can open up and look at that details the information that Tony has passed forward this evening. And along with that, and I haven't been following the text box, Tony, so I don't know how much of this you've put in, but Tony came up with somewhere close to 30, I think it was 27, different URLs, that is website locations, that are very apropos to this subject that we're discussing here tonight. And that listing of those URLs in specific URL sequence, so that you can just click on it and open up the page, will be displayed in that same document that I'm talking about under the recording entrance on our podcast section. So there'll be a lot of information if you guys want to keep peeking. Thank you, Tony, and appreciate your time, sir. KY6V.
Roger that. Before I wrap up real quick, there's two books out there that I kind of recommend. If this is all new to you and you were never in scouts or you were never in the military or a first responder or something, and some of these things are kind of, you know, maybe a bit overwhelming for you, there's a book out there by a retired British SAS person, Special Air Service, which is their version of Army Rangers or Navy SEALs. And it's called the SAS Survival Handbook, and it's green, and I think the latest version is going for about $17 or $18 on Amazon. Get the book, not the app. I mean, they also have an app to go with it, but again, if your electronics die, your apps are useless. So get the book. And the other one is from the ARRL, and it's the Emergency Communications Handbook, and both of these will be in my notes and up on the webpage, but strongly recommend you get those two things, as well as maybe check out some of the websites that are going to be in my notes up on the website. Again, if you have any questions, please feel free to email me. You know, if I can't find an answer, I'll get you an answer. It may take me a few days, but I'm happy to do that. And with that, I'm going to one last round of questions, and then we're going to go ahead and close this thing down. So this is KJ4PUJ for the last round of questions if anybody has one. Okay, hearing none, I'm going to turn it back over to Gordon, KY6V, for the official net closeout. I'd like to thank everybody for your participation and your questions. And, you know, those of you living in the southeast United States, it's hurricane season, so if you haven't made your trip to the superstores or the home improvement stores to resupply from last year, I suggest you do it this weekend. But take care, everybody. And Gordon, Kathy, thanks for asking me to host this. KJ4PUJ, back to net control.
Well, thank you, Tony. KY6V here. Well, good luck on the storm that's knocking on your door. And make sure you look up on the air on Saturday morning around between 10 and 11 and wave at Kathy as she flies over the top of you going into Charlotte, North Carolina. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming by. Again, don't forget the podcast for this session tonight will be posted sometime tomorrow on our website, and it will have detailed information as to what was covered in written form as well. And hope it helps everyone that takes the time to look it over. With that, this has been SCARS VOIP, Net Schedules and General Information, may be found on the SCARSVOIP.com website. Your narrator tonight has been KJ4PUJ, and this is KY6V saying adios for now. We're going to return the server back to normal use and abuse, and everybody have a good rest of the evening. Thank you, and KY6V is clear.